Father, we do take just a moment before we open up your word, Lord God, that our hearts would be ready, that you would minister to us in a special way. Lord God, you have something for each and every one of us today. And I believe that if we're open and ready, that you're ready and able to have us receive it today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 7 to 21 this morning. And I want to just say that I think God has been doing some amazing things. I think when you see people dedicate their lives to the Lord, when you see response from the community on things that you're doing, when you see a hunger and a thirst in people's lives that wasn't there before, I believe God is doing a new thing. And as we come out of the Easter skits and we come out of some services where God is doing these things, if you remember last week when we did the skits and stuff, we kind of peeked at the cross of people where God had not only used them as a witness to see what he was doing, but they were at the cross and God was changing lives and changing circumstances. And we see these, and my question to you this morning is, now what? We look at these things and we say, I can relate with Mary Magdalene. I can relate to the thief. I can relate to all of the others that came and said they experienced Jesus. Now what? After we see these things, we looked at, you know, that there's a need to be a follower. We looked at that God will go to unlimited lengths to reach out to somebody and minister to them. And, you know, so now what? He wants to establish a relationship with us. Now what? How do we grasp God's love? You know, people say God loves you. But do you know what? Until you sense God's love, until you experience God's love, they're only words. Can you say amen to that? You know, it's kind of like the person that says, I know how you're feeling, but you look at them and you just know that there's no way they know, because they've never been through what you've been through, for them to say that. And so my prayer this morning is, as we look at God's love, that not only do you just hear these words, but that you experience how much God really does care about us. And until you grasp that, you really can't begin to really understand how much God wants to have a relationship with you. Amen. You just really can't grab those. Those two are like distance until they come together. Our text is 1 John 4, 7 and reading to 21. But I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 1 to 3. You know that John is speaking there in 1 John and what he's saying about it. He says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See what I'm saying this morning? Until you really touch it, until you experience it, until you hold it, until you proclaim this truth, you'll never understand what God's love really means. We have to experience it. We have to be like they. They acknowledge we know him. We were with him. We have faith in him. We rely in him. And we know what he's done. We've come to know, and we continue to know him. We came to believe, and we came to believe in him. We came to experience it. And when you say God is love, you can't separate the two. You can't separate him, because God's love defines who he is. To live in God, you know, to the people say, well, I have God in my life. To really have God in your life is to settle down and allow God to be a part of your life, to take up residency in your life, to help you and guide you through this life. And John goes on here, and he begins to tell us that the Christian faith isn't only an occasional thing. It's not only something that happens in a big event. Amen to that. You know, everybody gets religious when they need something. Everybody has, you know, this epiphany moment when you're seeking after God. And what he's saying is that our Christian faith is not only occasional, but it's a constant thing. Our faith in him does not only rest on these big events, but it's our lives every moment of the day, not only in good times. See, the world wants to tell you that there's no absolutes. That's the new thing going on today. There is no absolutes. You know, your opinion is just one of many opinions. Your opinion is just one matter. But God said there is an absolute, that God's love is absolute, that God's love is indispensable. God's love is unlimited. One commentary that I found this week, I love what he said. He's kind of expressing the love that John has, and he's expressing these words. He's saying it's not only referencing God's love to us and our love back to God, but also that God's love would be for each other. Say amen. Wouldn't this world be better if we love God and experience the love that God has back to us, and we took that God's love back to somebody that we have contact with? Wouldn't this world be a better place to be? Wouldn't this world be a better place to operate and live in? 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know that and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how God is made complete among us, so that he may have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brothers and sisters. The end purpose here in everything that God does is that we would accept God's love for ourselves and then turn around and show God's love to others, back to the community, back to the neighbor, back to the one that's giving you even a hard time, and express it back to them when we come in contact with them. The end purpose and the end goal is to have a relationship with God and have man that we come into contact see God's love in us. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Billy Graham says this. He says, the cross shows us the seriousness of our sins, but it also shows us the immeasurable love of God. He goes on to say, I am convinced the greatest act of love that we can ever perform for people is to tell them about God's love for them in Christ. Here's a perfect example, and we've talked about it in board meetings. We talked about it in different plannings of event. New people bring new blood. New people that have come to Christ have this excitement of finding Jesus, having this excitement of wanting to share God's love, and excited to show and tell what God is doing in their lives. And then I sit there and I think that sometimes, and I've said it a million times, and in a minute I'll explain it, but you know, when they say that they've come to Christ, you didn't come to Christ. Christ came to you. Christ loved you first. You responded when Christ was drawn to you. And you know, you reached out and you responded. And then there's this part that just makes me want to just think, why don't they get it? See, sometimes you think that I'm not, I'm acting 60, and you come up to me and you say, well, you know what, Pastor, I've heard that illustration before. Yeah, I know you have. I purposely do that because we only remember 5% of what's told to us. So sometimes when I want to drill something home, I'll give an example a couple different times. I'll come back to a scripture and share it several times in a short period of time. Why? Because we want it to go deep in our brain. We have to experience it more than one time. We have to hear it more than one time. And when you get to the point that you say, Pastor, I know that you've said that before, I think, ha-ha, they've got it. It's down deep in there. It's exactly where I want it to go. We say these things. We think that us coming to Christ is something that we've done. We've responded to what Christ done for us because he loved us first. And I sit there and I love this illustration. Pastor Rick Warren tells a story about watching his kids sleep. And he tells the story by saying that as his kids were little, he used to just love to go next to the bed and just watch their stomachs rise and sink, rise and sink. And that he enjoyed watching them sleep. And I thought, I was the only kook that ever liked that. But mine is not for that reason. Because I remember as a dad going into the kids' rooms, first of all, I'm checking on them to make sure that they're really sleeping. And then as I sit there and I watch, and I sit there and they're, oh, they look so peaceful. Well, then I began sitting there for a moment and watching them, and they go from so peaceful to squirming and kicking and making all kinds of weird noises. And I thought, man, this is kind of funny. This is kind of funny. And you watch them do these different things, and you know, they go from one peaceful moment to looking like they just got into a fight with Mike Tyson. The covers are all over the place, they're wrapped up. And I sit there and then I think how much I love my kids. And then it makes me think, how much more does God love us? How much more does God really? He probably gets a kick out of sometimes. Watching us kick and scream, watching us restless, watching us, you know, looking sometimes as if we're in the fight of our lives, but he still loves us, and he gets enjoyment from watching and being a part of our lives, the same as we watch and see our kids get involved in their lives. I want you to know something. You're not an accident. You're not an accident. I don't even care if your parents didn't plan you or I. You're not an accident in God's eyes. You have purpose. You have a plan that needs to be lived out in your life, and God wants you to live it out. And God not only wants you to live it out, He'll help you to get there where you need to be. So I say this morning, because you know that God has a plan for you. He desires to help you through that plan. So this morning, if you're sitting here, I don't care if you're a firefighter, be the best firefighter you can be for Jesus. If you're a musician, be the best person to make music for God. Whatever it is, be the best that you can be, because God, it's got this. He loves you. I think back, and I may embarrass my wife for a second, but that's okay. It wouldn't be the first time I've either done this or attempted to do it. But when we started in the ministry, when I started in the ministry, she had her own business and she had her own salon and she had her own career. And when I decided that we were going to take a church, and we weren't, she decided at that point that she was going to sell the business and she was going to be a pastor's wife. And what that looked like, we didn't know, because at the time there was other churches and we had these decisions to make, and so she didn't know which church she would be the pastor's wife to, But she made a commitment that she would be the pastor's wife. And included in that would be those times that I was struggling. And I felt like I was all alone. She determined that she was going to be that person in my corner. And the first 3 years that we were here, she didn't work at all. And you know what? I think that's love. How much more does God love us? If God's love says that we can't even comprehend it, and we would go and do these things for other people and our family and all these other things, how much more does God want to do? How much does He want to get in our lives? How much does He want to be our strength? How much does He want to be our guidance? How much does He want to be involved? And how much does it hurt God at times when we put Him off to the side? And we make these decisions. I've got probably 3 points that I want to just bring home here in the next few minutes. But here it is, and I think, write it down. It's not rocket science. Just write it down. God's love never fails. God's love never fails. We can fail, and we have failed, but God's love doesn't fail. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. If that's the kind of love that God says that we should have, and if God dwells within us, this should be the way we respond. This should be the way that we respond back to God. This should be the way that we respond back to others. This is the one that at the times when I'm telling you, when you feel like you're sinking, that you stay focused on God and allow Him to just reach out and hold you. Because like I said, the victory is when we're walking on water. The victory isn't when we're in the water. He will pull us out. He will get us back. But the victory is once He pulls us back and we begin to see focus again on God and we start walking on water. When we start doing new things. When we start doing the impossible instead of the actual and the ordinary. When we start doing the things that God has called us to. Love never fails. And translated, if we were to look at the Greek and see it, it means love never ends. They talk about a ring and a wedding because of the circle that never ends. Well, God's love never ends. He desires for us. He chose us. John tells us here, and Ephesians tells us that God chose us. He died for us in Romans 5:8, and He never will leave us. Talks about in Hebrews. He's got the whole plan. He's the whole enchilada when you start looking at this. In fact, if you look at it, He says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Except if we choose to get out of His love. It even tells us that you know, even if we reject His love, Jeremiah 31 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Which means even if you reject God, He still loves you. He still desires to have a relationship with you. He still desires to turn your life around and get you focused back again. Number two is God's love comes from God. You know why so many people struggle? Because they're trying to love in ordinary human love, and it's not working out so good. How many have been hurt by people? How many have been blindsided? And God's saying this. He's saying, if you're going to tell me that you're going to love me, then love me. If you're going to tell me that you love others with God's love, it's going to be way more than what you in yourself can do. Verse 7, again, looking at just the verses 7 to 10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. That's His character. That's God's character, is love. You can't separate. That isn't just something He does. That is who He is. Sometimes we think that we are fooling God at times. I want you to know something. The only fruit that will grow on an apple tree is an apple. You're not going to get pears. And if you do, Somebody cross-seeded something, because that wasn't what God made. The only way we're going to experience God's love is for God to flow through us. Amen? That's the only way that's going to happen. Number three is this: God's love reflects God's love. It's kind of like looking in a mirror. I don't know about you, but some of these commercials just get me sometimes. The newest one is the Planet Fitness one, where the guy is buffed and got a six-pack on, and he's looking in the mirror, and he's talking about worrying about everybody that's seeing him. And he's saying, I see you seeing me, and I see you looking at me through the mirror. And then he looks at himself in the mirror and all these other things. And I get a kick out of that. And I, as I was putting this together, I thought of this. Now, that's my weird way. Anytime you see me, sometimes the smoke just flies. But I had this thinking: as we reflect God's love more in our lives, we stop looking in the mirror about ourselves and we start seeing God. And it's a perfect example about, yeah, I'm the buff, I'm it, it's all about me. And you know, Fred talked about it in Sunday school about leadership and working together and all of this. Sometimes we got to stop looking in the mirror at ourselves, thinking we're all it, and begin to see God doing some amazing things through us when we start reflecting what God is doing in our lives. Verse 11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Gandhi, a Hindu leader, said this: I love your Christ, but I do not love your Christians. You know what a slam that is? He says, I can respect your God, but I don't see your God in God's people. Are we reflecting the proper image of God to others? Are we allowing God to change us and make us what we're supposed to be? Our purpose, and I'm wrapping this up, our purpose is to make complete God's love in us, to allow God to change us, to allow God to accomplish all that he wants in our lives. I'll go back to that. I'll say again, if you're a fireman, be a fireman. If you sing, sing. If you work in a grocery store, work in a grocery store. Whatever it is, be all that God has. Accomplish what he has for you. Reflect Christ where he has you. Everybody thinks holiness is a religion. It's not a religion. Holiness is what God's doing in our lives, allowing God to change us. See, it's not about being perfect. Everybody say, well, he thinks he's so holy, but he's not perfect. Well, yeah, of course not. Of course not. God's idea of perfect is allowing God to do the things that he wants to do in your life. That's perfection in God's eyes. Not that we're not going to mess up and we're far from being perfect. Holiness is not our own protection, perfection, or anything else. It's being God to somebody in their lives. Being perfect is working and allowing God to work through our lives. God desires to transform our lives, his people, in turn to transform communities that God puts us to. Amen? We have a purpose here. Every single one of us has a purpose here in this community. Every single one of us has a purpose when we go to work. Every single one of us has a purpose when we go to the grocery store or wherever it is. The work of God brings spiritual wholeness and desires for it to work in our lives. See, everyone, when you're not going to be perfect on this side of the world, but I also want you to know this. God wants to have a relationship with you now, not only so that you make heaven, but that you minister to people that you come in contact with. God's blessings, God's fullness, God's spirit, God's life transformations happens right here and now. It's not afar off. We will be glorified, have glorified bodies, and spend time with God when we die, but we have a project and a work to do right here. And God desires to work through us. we love God now, and that love is carried out into the communities that we work with. We share the love of God so that others might enjoy eternity, might enjoy God's love, might have their lives changed. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved. One of the most terrible things I see is somebody standing on a corner Bible beating somebody. That's not God's love. Sharing the gospel is God's love. Sharing what God has done in your life is love. But let me tell you, because all the times that you beat somebody with the Bible, they already know whether they're doing wrong or have some issues that God wants to do. So the only thing you can do is show God's love that says where they're at, there is a better place. God can bring you from there, and I'm willing to help you. I will show you God's love, and it's not going to be to jap-slap somebody with the Bible. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you really understand how much he loves you and how much he really cares about what's going on? And my question to you is, will you allow him to make the changes? Will you allow him to make the changes? Will you allow him to do what he wants to do in your life? Will you allow him to draw that relationship into new ground? See, I think that's we got Christians today, and I'm not saying Rosedale. I'm saying the church universe. We have Christians today that are trying to live without God, trying to live with, well, God, I don't need you to guide me today. God, I'm so busy, I can't spend time in prayer. God, I'm so busy that, you know, I'm just going to go and do this ahead of it. And I know that you're not crazy about it, but it, almost in action, they're saying, you'll get used to it, God. I know you don't like it now, but, you know, if I wait long enough, you'll eventually pour me out a blessing. And we're trying to live without God. We're claiming to be Christians and we're living without God. We're trying to be Christians and we're not sharing the love of Christ. We're trying to be Christians and we're not witnessing and telling people what God is doing in our lives and continues to do in our lives. Once you grab on to how much God loves you, we would have a church on fire for God, acting like the new convert, wanting to share God's love, wanting to share what's happening in the church, wanting to share what God has done in their lives. Share one last example. Max Lucado makes this statement. It's just about a paragraph. He says this, and I'll close with that thought. One stumble does not define or break a person. Though you failed, God's love does not. Face your failures with faith in God's goodness. He saw this collapse coming. God could have seen the upcoming mishaps. Still, he tells you what he told Joshua. Arise and go, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving. There's no condition in that covenant, no fine print, no performance language. God promised land does not depend on perfection. It depends on his perfection. In God's hands, no defeat is a crushing defeat. Scripture says, the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. He delights in each step they take. If they fail, it isn't fatal, for the Lord holds them with his hand. Put your faith in the one who is always faithful. Can you say amen to that this morning? How much more does God have to do to show us he loves us? And how much more could we show others the love of Christ? Father, I thank you this morning for your goodness. Father, I'm praying that each person within the sound of my voice this morning would sense your love. And whatever is a distraction, I'm asking, Lord God, that you would allow them to stay focused on you. I pray, Lord God, for those that have recently recommitted their lives to Christ. I pray for those that were impacted by the Easter skit. But I'm also speaking, just like John was speaking, that he was speaking to the church, Lord. And you're speaking to us this morning. May we experience your love in a new and fresh and powerful way. May we sense your presence. May we include you in our daily activities. May we take time to renew and strengthen that relationship with you. And when our lives are reflected into this community, may they see Christ and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.